Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show, hour two on this Thursday, and ahead of Saturday's Oklahoma spring game, I will have to correct myself a little bit. And by the way, the details don't matter. If you're the head coach, if you want it pink, it's pink, man. It's your spring game, which actually I'm saying it's your 15th session. If you're Lane Kiffin, you can do what you want, man. Kirby's decided to line up and go good on good for like 60 plays. Well, rock it, Kirby. All I can say about Brent Venables is I don't understand the scoring. It's still football, so I understand that part. I don't understand the scoring, and I don't care about the scoring. So set it aside. Tell me how Jackson Arnold looked. Tell me if the interceptions look like they may be minimized this year. Want to welcome on right now. He'll know all the answers, and he may even be able to understand the scoring here. From Sooner Scoop, it's an on-3 effort. George Stoya, welcome to the show, brother. How you doing today?
Good, Chuck, but I also could not tell you how the scoring works either. I think I've read the instructions and the details of the game several times, and I still have no idea how exactly it's going to go. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, for most of us, if you broadcast journalism or mass comm, like, we're not built to understand that scoring system. That's an engineering guy. All right, well, let's talk about Jackson Arnold and no turnovers, because I saw the bowl game, and I liked a lot of what I saw, and that's a good-looking kid and all, but let's talk about where he is now.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, they've had, three or four scrimmages now. And from what we understand, he's had some scrimmages where he's thrown, a couple touchdowns and thrown a couple interceptions. And so I think that for him right now, it's just a learning process. And if you go back and you watch the Alamo Bowl game, I think that when you see him in the pocket, there's times that he looks great throwing the ball down the field. I don't think there's any question that the talent's there in terms of his accuracy and his ability to throw the ball down the field. But when he gets rushed, he makes some bad decisions. And maybe he's a tad behind on a receiver, or maybe he throws it late. And that's when you get in some trouble. So I think for him, people need to be patient, because I think that when you look into next year, and obviously playing in the SEC is going to be difficult, he's going to have some ups and downs, and I think he's going to have more ups than downs, but he's certainly going to have some moments where you're like, man, that was not a great decision. And I think people need to remember he's only 19 years old, and as talented as he is, I think having those live action reps are going to eventually help him. But it does sound like he's developing well, and they've liked what he's shown through spring so far. It's just kind of a work in progress, replacing all five starting offensive linemen and having a new offensive coordinator in Seth Luttrell.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's not a lot of analysts with the resume of Luttrell. I mean, quote, analyst, and now he's OC, and that was easy. Just go down the hall. But it still is different. It's somebody else with the keys, and it's defense as well. Just talk about seeing the evidence of new guys in charge on offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Luttrell, you really like his resume. I mean, when they hired him, he's a guy that's been a head coach before, obviously been a play caller at North Carolina and Indiana, and so he's more than qualified. And I think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff that they were doing under Jeff Levy, who's now at Mississippi State. And under Levy, they were top 10 offense in efficiency both of the last 2 years. And so I think that you're going to see them continue to do some of the things that they're doing. I think the biggest difference is what they do in the run game schematically. That's definitely going to be a new emphasis. And I've heard through the spring, the run game has especially been the main emphasis for Oklahoma, because they felt like they weren't able to run the ball efficiently last year. So I do think that that's going to be a big part of it. Throwing it down the field vertically is going to be huge, but they're also going to throw a lot of passes horizontally, wide receiver screens and those sorts of things. But so far, so good with Seth Luttrell. It's just that offensive line is really where they've had the most struggles, and that's why you're going to see them be pretty active in the portal this spring, trying to pick up maybe two or three guys on the offensive line. Defensively, Zach Alley's been fantastic. You know, coming from Jacksonville State, obviously spent a lot of times under Brent Venables at Clemson. He's just done a really good job of teaching guys and kind of being that second voice next to Venables. And, you know, for Brent, I think that he's kind of handed the reins to Zach Alley in a lot of ways. Now, I expect, you know, Brent Venables to still call the defense on game days, at least to start the season. But Zach Alley's brought some new twists to the defense. He's also kind of just reiterated what they were already doing. He's very familiar with their scheme. He ran it at Jacksonville State and Louisiana Monroe, where he was the defensive coordinator. So young guy that's really connected well with some of the guys, and I think it's also freed up Brent Venables a little bit to be more of a CEO head coach, which is what you've seen across college football with guys like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and all those guys who kind of started as those coordinators who were also head coaches and then kind of transitioned to being just the head coach.
All right. For a lot of our footprint, maybe they don't know these names right now, but talk Danny Stutzman and Billy Bowman, not just the players they are on defense on the back two levels, but talk about the story, because it wasn't just, you know, they're studs and we may lose them in the portal. They may have lost Stutzman of the NFL, certainly.
Yeah, both those guys had high draft grades. I mean, there was talk of them being both day two picks. I mean, Billy Bowman, I think, is one of the more underrated safeties in the country. I think he has a chance to be first team all SEC. And I think Danny Stutzman can be said the same at linebacker. And those are two guys that, of course, they play at a high level. Like I said, I think that they could be day two draft picks next year, maybe even sneak into the first round if they have, you know, great seasons. And if Danny Stutzman is competing for, you know, the Butkus Award, I think that could certainly be the case. But when you talk about experience, these are guys that have been at Oklahoma now 3 years and under Brent Venables for 2 years as starters. And, you know, Billy Bowman last year, I think, had five interceptions, returned, I think, four of them for touchdowns. So he's a very dynamic and electric player, can be a huge difference maker. And then Danny Stutzman the last 2 years has been their leading tackler. And a guy really last year when he got hurt against Kansas, a lot of people think they win that football game if he doesn't get hurt halfway through that game. And then he misses the Oklahoma State game, which they also lose. So he's a pivotal player. He's the leader of this team, unquestioned leader, not only of the defense, but the entire team. And Billy Bowman, too, he's a guy that's become very vocal, a coach on the field. And having those two guys kind of in that back seven has been huge for Oklahoma coming back because of their experience and leadership. And that's why there's a big belief that this Oklahoma defense could be the best they've had in over the, you know, the past decade now. And it's a large reason is because of Danny Stutzman and Billy Bowman.
All right. So the first year, and again, if like we're in the like the big giant SEC, ACC footprint, if you don't watch a team each week, you just look at the record and go, well, it was too much for Venables. His first year, it was like a 3-point loss and then another 3-point loss and then like a 3-point loss in overtime and then a 3-point loss in the bowl game. And I'm not exaggerating any of this. Last year, they start 7-0, have a couple of more close losses, but like I don't. All this talk is about Texas and how SEC ready they are. Is OU a lot more ready than we're giving them credit for? Because well, we just look at the record at the end of the year.
I think so, and the reason I think so is you look at the recruiting rankings in the last 3 years under Brent Venables. They've had a top 10 recruiting classes each of the last 3 years, and you look at who they're getting and what positions. It's the defensive line. It's the secondary. It's playmakers at wide receiver, high caliber quarterbacks. I mean, these are the positions that you have to succeed at to be successful in the SEC. And I think that it's obviously been a growing period for Oklahoma. This was always going to be a 3 to 4 to maybe even 5 year project for Venables to kind of build this thing up from where Lincoln Riley and that previous staff kind of left it. And you look at that first year, and obviously they fell short. And I think that everybody would say that his first year was a massive disappointment. But you look at last year and what they were able to do, beating a really good Texas team in a close game at the Cotton Bowl, and then losing those two games to Kansas and Oklahoma State, it was certainly disappointing in not making the Big 12 title game. But you look at what happened in those games, some unfortunate turnovers on bad snaps. You had some bad weather in Kansas. Like I said, Danny Stutzman got banged up in that game. They had a couple offensive linemen banged up in both games. And I know those are certain things that are going to happen in every college football season, but I do think after last year, there was a lot of promise in terms of where this thing is headed, and I think that they feel confident going into the SEC. Now, you look at their schedule next year, and you got to go to Baton Rouge, you got to go to Oxford and play Ole Miss, Auburn, Missouri, a team that has really been rising the last couple years under Drinkwitz. I think that it's certainly a tough schedule, but there's a lot of people inside that building in Oklahoma that think they can compete to make the 12-team college football playoff. Now, they're going to have to win probably at least 9 or 10 games, probably 10 games, so that's going to be difficult. But they feel very good, and if they can go out in this spring portal and get a couple defensive linemen and then a couple offensive linemen, I think that they're going to feel really good heading into 2024.
Our truest reporter for OU, George, I appreciate your time, friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
George Stoya, Sooner Scoop, it's on 3. As I said, our truest reporter for the Oklahoma Sooners. They have Party at the Palace, presented by Allstate. That's their spring game. Two things there. When you have a corporate sponsor, like a big giant, like Cooper's Feed and Seed is great. But when you have Allstate as the sponsor, all right, you're big time. Party at the Palace. All right, well, you're setting an expectation there. I'm going to tell you, does this sound like a party to you? I'm going to tell you why it actually is. You can show up for the fan festival at 9 a.m. Now, it's Oklahoma. April, May, can't promise you what the weather's going to be. In fact, they've said that the kickoff is, the aim is for 1 o'clock, but this is their word. We'll play with that a little bit, weather permitting. But at 9 o'clock, Party at the Palace, they cut the ribbon. And here's what you had. And by the way, what I'm about to tell you, some of this sounds good, the part that you can actually consume. And I'm talking like food-wise. The rest of this stuff, to me personally, not a whole lot of entertainment value, but I'm going to tell you why it's still a success. Party at the Palace. They have a variety of food trucks. Sign me up. Nothing better than a well-done food truck. And I think like the grilled cheese food truck has the belt, and like 1A is the taco food truck. But those, they got food trucks and a lot of them, so everybody wins. Interactive games. I'm pretty sure I know what this is. It's probably, is it like a big video screen, like a giant iPad, and there's a corporate sponsor, and you try to do, like, there's something like that. Try to get the Chevrolet across the finish line first. That's an interactive game. Music. Balloon artist. That's the long, skinny balloons that you tie and make it look like a horse. Face painters, inflatables, bouncy house, I suppose, or is that like the big giant gorilla outside the used car lot? They call it inflatables. Mascot appearances, a mini football field, and, quote, other activities. Okay, outside of the food truck, most of this is not going to be any sort of value to an adult unless you're an adult with 1, 2, 3, 4, or even more kids. All of this is a win. Everybody who shows up for this is looking for something to do. You want to get there as soon as possible because you hadn't been on campus in 6 months, and it'll be 5 months before you're back. You want to go there. You want something to do, and it may be mildly interesting to you as a 37-year-old. Doesn't matter. If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, or even more children, everywhere you go, you're looking for something to occupy them. And so that's why, I don't know, restaurants started putting crayons on the table. Here, instead of writing on our tablecloth, we're going to make the tablecloth a sheet of paper. And here's some crayons. Kids, go nuts. You're looking for anything. When it's a young family, you want anything to occupy them ahead of the only thing you want, and that's to see Jackson Arnold in person. That's all you care about. And even if it's just the first quarter and we have to go home right afterwards, just let me see Jackson Arnold. What are we going to do with the critters ahead of kickoff? We'll take them to the interactive games and music and face painting and all that. So while if you look at that stuff and you wonder, like SEC Fanfare, they do it every year, ACC Fan Experience, like everybody comes up with stuff like this. And believe me, the adults are looking for somewhere to stand other than beside their car. So, okay, we'll go in here. If you got kids, this stuff's a saver. It absolutely is. All right, so this Thursday, we're going to take a quick break, come back, continue next.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Thursday. Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show. It was supposed to be good marketing. And there was a chance that's all it was. Good free marketing. Now a restaurant owner may be hearing Stu Nahan in his head. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. What started out as a joke has turned out to be a disaster. I don't know if that's how this is going to turn out. But the owner of Jimmy's Famous Seafood in Baltimore, he promised Derrick Henry. All right, let's rephrase this. The owner of a pretty nice steak and seafood joint promised a 6'3", 250-pound NFL player free crab cakes and crab cake egg rolls for life if he would sign with the local NFL team. Monday, first day of Ravens offseason program. Monday night, first visit to Jimmy's Famous by Derrick Henry. Derrick to do some work, all right? I'm not just talking on third and three. Now, the owner of Jimmy's Famous, he's not going to go broke, believe me. I looked online. If we ever do a show in Baltimore, and I don't know why we would. If we do a show in Baltimore, are we going to the Navy game? We're going to Jimmy's Famous. The crab cake egg rolls, there are only two that come in the order, and it's kind of sliced diagonally, so you can break it, and it's like four halves with some drizzle on it and all. It's substantive. It's absolutely what you want. So he promised him crab cakes, crab cake egg rolls for life. He signed with the Ravens, and Derrick Henry, literally the first day he had to be in Baltimore for work that night, he's at Jimmy's Famous chowing down. Now, as I said, this is a really nice restaurant, and that looks like a plate of substance. I saw it. But I've seen what guys do with free food cards before. I've done it. I had a free food card for Applebee's. And I got nothing but love for Applebee's. It's not ribeye and crab cakes. At Applebee's, I've seen what guys do with Hooters cards, like Magic, where all the Papa John's is free or whatever. I've seen what guys do with those sort of things. This is really good food to a guy who can shovel it in. And he actually needs enough calories per day to fuel an NFL running back's body. So I hope it still is just good marketing. And I don't know, maybe Derek is allergic to shellfish, it turns out, after all. And it's just a big break for the guy. But this could be expensive. What up, Heath?
Yeah, I'll just say Jimmy's Seafood, they like to get involved with the sports stuff. They've had some battles back and forth, some real shots at some people I like in Raleigh. So I'll just say this. It wouldn't bother me if Derek takes a big old bite out of Jimmy's Seafood's wallet.
Changes the bottom line?
Yeah, whoever does their social media, I don't know, I think that might be the person in charge. But if it's not, the way they treated some people I actually like, then I hope he likes crab cakes a whole bunch. I'll also tell you that if you are in Baltimore, if we ever find ourselves there, Joe Benny's in Baltimore. Real good focaccia pizza and meatballs. So if you're looking for a dining recommendation for Baltimore, I'll give you Joe Benny's as a pretty good one. All right, so couple of things here. One, I want to give credit to Roger Sherman on this one because he's the one who pointed it out. I hadn't thought about it, but Chuck, women's basketball, I think it's safe to say, is having a moment right now, and we'll see whether or not it's long-term. How much growth? It's clearly growth. It's not going to be at the level it is right now. Everybody, even people in the sport, acknowledge this is kind of a rocket ship, and it will level off, and we'll see how many new fans the sport has added for the WNBA versus college and how much even college has added in a world where Caitlin Clark is no longer playing in it. But it's had this rocket ship of interest to the point that, for example, the WNBA is talking about expanding and so forth. And so someone did a little digging here, Roger Sherman, and noted Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, not exactly known for being the savviest guy when it comes to finances, investing, things like that. No. Mark Davis owns the champion Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA, and he got that team, Chuck, for $2 million. The question, who sold a team that would be good enough to be the WNBA champions and now considered to be a hot asset class, a pro investment, for $2 million? Who would be dumb enough to do that? Well, it turns out it was George Kliavkoff, Chuck. president of MGM Resorts International Entertainment and Sports. He's the one who has sold the team for $2 million to Mark Davis, which now would be a really nice asset for them to have, particularly in their arena, playing basically where there's no, you're keeping every nickel of all of it. It's just moving from one pocket into the other if you're even paying a nickel for rent. That's the guy that the Pac-12 said, he'll solve our problems. George Kliavkov, this guy's a savvy guy. I still don't understand how that happened. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, if you got financially taken by Mark Davis or just the Raiders, because it's been known for, like, you really were asleep at the wheel, because it's been known for decades that somehow, against the backdrop of we're in the NFL, the Raiders, everyone has always known, they're a, quote, poor franchise. And when I say poor franchise, Heath, quickly, if you sign a contract with a free agent and there's like $135 million guaranteed dollars, the NFL team has to put all 135 of the future millions that's guaranteed, they have to put that in escrow. And so the Raiders were never able to forward that sort of cash because they just didn't have it. And it was a series of really questionable moves. And for someone to kind of get hoodwinked by the Raiders financially, that's surprising.
Yeah. You're talking about Khalil Mack. They had to trade Khalil Mack because of that exact issue, because all of Davis's money basically consists of his ownership of the Raiders. But,
yep.
But yeah, that... if you get hoodwinked by that dude driving his minivan to P.F. Chang's with that haircut, if that dude is hoodwinking you, then, yeah, you're probably not the right answer to solve the Pac-12's problems. Also, Luther Campbell in the news. He's unhappy that Ja'Quarri Brown has announced he's transferring from Miami, saying, quote, unbelievable, sorry to hear this. This didn't make us better. Shannon Dawson, you are the offensive coordinator. This is on your face. You better have a solid second-string quarterback and a starting quarterback for next year in that room. You screwed this kid over. If you're Mario Cristobal, this isn't just a former rap guy. This is a guy with real connections down there. In fact, he might run for Congress as soon as next week, and I'm not joking about that. Luther Campbell, though, in the football scene, is a big deal in South Florida. Him calling them out, that matters.
Really does. And in general, when the slings and arrows and shouts come from within your own walls, that's always a little more notable. With Luther Campbell, yeah, this is legit big time.
King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show rolls along on this Thursday. One of my favorite guests to have on, guy to just talk to about, you know, stuff, but specifically Mississippi State football stuff, from jeanspage.com. It's a 247 effort. It is David Murray. David, friend, welcome back. How you been, buddy?
Well, it's been a while since we talked, but we've got a lot to talk about. In fact, I'm heading to campus right now to talk to Coach Jeff Levy after his 14th practice of spring. We just got the heads up that practice is going to end early, and one of the questions I want to ask him is, are you ending it early because you're satisfied with the pace of practice here at camp, or are you just sick and tired of seeing these guys? And I suspect, given his attitude, the players we've spoken with so far in spring, it's going to be they feel really good about their state of progress right now in this first spring of putting together a very new offense and a largely revamped defense.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the spring game in particular, and I'm very interested in Mississippi State's because so many layers of dynamic here. First-time head coach, first-year head coach, obviously, there. Lane's doing everything that he could, and he decided spring game, I'm going to turn it into a carnival. Does Levy have an intent to maybe show a little bit more because folks don't necessarily know his DNA in Starkville?
Really don't know what his plans are. That's one of the things we're going to ask. Now, they're going to go with one of those, they call it a creative scoring system for both offense and defense. And I'm old enough to remember back in the 1970s, Bob Tyler did the same thing. So this is nothing really new. What I like about it is it's offense versus defense instead of split squads. And given the very minimal access we've had to practice this spring, that's not a criticism, by the way. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that while practice has been the priority, every practice day has had a horde prospects on campus, watching practice, observing. He's getting them here in spring because he wants to show them what he's doing more so than media. Hey, I get it. You know, those guys can play for him. We can't. But I suspect he will want to put on more of a demonstration. This is what I was hired to do. This is the offense I want to bring in. This is the defense that Coleman Hustler is going to put together. I think he'll show more football in that regard. But there will be some fun and games involved, particularly with a lot of former players in town for a super weekend.
Blake Shapen, he's played. That's certainly the case. And he's now another veteran transfer like a lot of programs want, especially a first-year head coach who would like to hit the ground running. Ahead of Saturday's spring game, what do you believe, what has been the general feel, the take on Blake Shapen?
They talk about every player, and I'm talking defensive players as well, who had to work against him. Apologies, pollen season still catching up with me. But the fact, just the way he spins the ball, one of the defensive backs I spoke with said, you better be ready because he gets the ball out quick and he gets it out on target. And so I'm fully convinced that Shapen is the guy. You know, he had a chance to watch him as the coordinator at Oklahoma on the other sideline with Baylor. So he knows Shapen. They've hit the ground running, or I guess I should say throwing, here in camp already. That said, Chris Parson, by all accounts, is back to full physical health now, throwing good passes, fitting into this offensive system, and he's more of a uses footwork type threat. And then the kid, Michael Van Buren, if Parson doesn't raise his game immediately, all accounts are the true freshman out of Maryland is the real deal and the quarterback to build his future around. So that's been the position of most interest. Now, but me, you know me, Chuck, I'm the old dog. I want to know what's going on in the offensive line, and this is my first chance Saturday to really see what's happening up front.
Yeah, you mentioned Van Buren. That's a former, for everybody listening, that's a former four-star who I think was either an Oregon commit or they were playing footsie and really wanted him, and Lebby's like, yeah, I'll take him. Interesting you bring up the offensive line because I think going into spring, like, one of the biggest stories was the offensive line rotation. They got four transfer linemen out of the portal and all could have some level of impact to I start and play every snap.
Well, they don't have a choice in a large extent because they graduated or, in the case of Steve Lasoya, transferred out everyone who played significant snaps last season. So the offensive line, they knew it would be a rebuild no matter what, but now it's a total rebuild. The transfer portals where they focused offensively, there in wide receiver, of course. So that's what I want to see there. Now, giving Mike Leach and Zach Arnett some credit, they did start stockpiling young linemen, so I don't think it's an automatic for these transfers, which is good. You want competition. But that's an area I want to look at. And flipping the side of it, too, defensive line of scrimmage. You lose your best players there. Now you're putting in a similar system, but with different type personnel and attitudes. So to me, you know, the SEC forevermore and always is a line of scrimmage league. So coordinators come and go, schemes come and go. If you can't block and you can't tackle, none of it matters. That's what I want to see tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you could run a two-man front or an eight-man front. Jeffrey Simmons was going to, you know, terrorize folks. But best you can guess, and again, this is kind of what maybe you want to hold under wraps in a spring game, I guess. What is Coleman Hunsler's approach? What's his angle? Because we've never seen him have sole control over defense like anywhere, so there's no real film. I'll go back and watch film of his previous stop while he wasn't running the defense there.
Well, yesterday we had a chance to talk to John Lewis, who expects to be one of the starting linebackers. They've moved him from the strong side to the weak side. And he said simply the whole defensive attitude of the linebackers and really the defense in general, you know, it's easy to say aggression, but he says this is beyond aggression. This is attack. This defense is going to take the game to the offensive team. They just... This is not a league, and frankly, college football in general anymore. You can't be passive on defense, let them come to you. You've got to go get them. You've got to roll the dice. You've got to take chances. I think the personnel that he has, yes, State graduated some very good defensive linemen, a couple of who will end up playing pro ball, some solid linebackers who are more pile up the tackles but not go make plays, if you know what I mean in that regard. Mm-hmm. So I want to see more speed and movement, and particularly side-to-side movement. And I think that's something that Hustler is going to really focus on, being able to cover laterally as much as vertically, because that's where they expect a lot of these tempo teams to play. And speaking of tempo, the defensive players we talked to have said, what they're doing on offense this camp, and the offense going against the defense every day, is getting them ready to play tempo teams this fall, unlike what they've been used to the last couple of years.
Talk John Lewis a little bit, because he's an old man by a lot of college standards now. And if you show up at the same campus and hang out for more than about 15, I mean, we've had guys now, multiple stories, it's becoming normal. They've portaled in January, and now ahead of April 16th, they're portaling out. Talk John Lewis and what he could do this year.
Well, like I said, he's changing positions there, and that's going to allow a guy like Nick Mitchell to play at the strong side position. Still working on what's going to end up, I suspect, Zachary Tillman is going to end up at the middle linebacker position. But you've got more options there and more athletic-type options. I love Nate Watson. I love Jet Johnson. But they weren't guys who were going to win a whole lot of foot races. So I'm just impressed more with what I think these guys can do in the lateral coverages, and be able to attack in those positions and go after those wide receivers to make more things happen in those regards. So I like what Lewis is doing. The biggest question mark of all still remains, and of course I mentioned the line of scrimmage, but where State was so lacking last year, really last couple of years, defensive secondary, you hate to use the phrase, it can only get better, but let's be honest, it can only get better. I don't know how much we'll see from them on Saturday in the spring game, but they're certainly going to get tested by this offense, and we'll have a little bit better measuring stick than normally we do coming out of spring.
Wrapping up, David Murray, jeanspage.com. It's 247. It's funny. You're talking about secondary has to be better, an Arkansas fan saying, hold my beer, David, and y'all played each other to a 7-3 tie last year somehow. All right, last question, and I started the show with this today. Big picture, all that is on Jeff Levy's plate, including that suddenly the other school in the state decides they want to have national, playoff aspirations, and OU in Texas and everything else, and he's a first-timer and all this. Talk about how he has handled all of that that has been on his plate, because it ain't easy.
Well, I think that's one reason, too, why they've really cut down on the media access in some areas, because, as I said, his focus equally has been recruiting. This staff, and I talked to one of the assistant coaches the other night. I crossed paths with him after the baseball game, so it wasn't like it was an off the record interview or anything. Just it was a talk, and I complimented them on what they're doing. He said, "Look, this is the future, but this is also the present. You've got the spring portal period, as you know now. There's going to be some pieces they need to plug in now. If they can find another offensive lineman, another defensive end guy, if they can pick up another wide receiver out there, they're going to do it in what's available. Recruiting has taken the focus in that sense because they've got to revamp things. Mike Leach had a lot of strengths, and, of course, Zach Arnett was thrust into a tough situation. But State has really got to get more muscular again on the lines of scrimmage and then start recruiting more to fit needs in a, the true air raid is passe in that sense. You've got to have more true playmakers. And talking to Creed Whittemore, who's going to take the lead role in the wide receiver rotation this year, an explosive player, he said that's it. They've been used to a couple of years catching balls and not doing much with them. Now the whole idea is to catch it and do something with the ball more so than you would in the air raid. So that's just one aspect I'm saying, that recruiting is being totally refocused and in the realities of the NIL and the portal period. So Jeff Levy, that's one of the reasons he was specifically hired. Yes, he's an innovative offensive coach. Yes, he's young and aggressive. Yes, he's attracted a good staff here. But he's got to change Mississippi State recruiting almost 180 degrees in that regard. And he's got to be willing to take on not just the Lane Kiffins and the people who live out of the portal and those there, which I'm not criticizing. It works. It works. He's still got to maintain the high school context. He's still got to build enough foundation and then plug in the transfers. So it's a dual track. He's still learning in that job. But you see the effort already put into it, and not just effort, there's a plan in place. That is what has impressed me, offensively, defensively, and now recruiting. Mississippi State actually has plans in place. Now it's up to them to make those plans work.
Well, my favorite folks to talk to when it comes to Mississippi State football or just stuff in general, you know, it's David Murray from 247. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
Chuck, good to talk to you as always.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. And what he's saying, I miss the Pirate. I really do. But it is a drastically different. It's not better or worse or anything else. What Mike Leach was doing, he did it as good as you can do any offense. This is really different. And when a roster, it can be anything. It can be Mike Leach's version of the air raid or what, you know, that had morphed into. It could be a triple option with Ken Niumatalolo. It could be any sort of offense. When you have a roster that has been recruited, they have been coached. Folks, they have trained. I'm talking about like run, lift, all that stuff. That's based on what kind of body a lot of times, what kind of body do you want on your offensive line? And it's a big, 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 big deal when you're switching all that stuff over. And even in the portal age, it still takes a minute. So it is. It's huge. And it was a great offense, but now it's a really different sort of offense. So I appreciate David coming on. We're going to break, and we will continue on this Thursday next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
For the quarterback position, I think the steal of the draft is going to be Spencer Rattler. When you turn on this man's tape, he has arm talent out the wazoo. Go watch any of his games, but specifically go watch the Florida game and watch him make big throw after big throw. Like, he never complained about the offensive line being leaky. He just found ways to make plays.
Robert Griffin, Heisman winner. He knows what it's about. And he is talking Spence Rattler and his prospects to play in the NFL. Steal of the draft. All right. There's someone who will make a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro team, which that's a big deal. That's a big, big difference. There's someone who will make the Hall of Fame at some point in this year's draft. If we fast forward, like, I don't know, hey, go back and find the draft from 25 years ago. 25 years from right now, someone will be referring to the 2024 draft as, and there was someone taken in the fifth round, and that guy's in the Hall of Fame today. See, that would be the steal of the draft. That would be the steal of the draft. I got news for you. A third rounder who makes the Hall of Fame, a second rounder who goes to like five Pro Bowls. Now you're talking steal of the draft. Spence Rattler, I think, is a fourth or fifth rounder, maybe. And I know that he could be taller, but it doesn't have to be an issue. And I know that he does have the arm strength and whatever else and the throws and arm talent or whatever else you want to say on that one. But that may be on the shorter by people who know. And that's not necessarily me, just by watching and being able to grade. Like David Morris from QB Country, we'll have him on. I'm saying that as far as the shorter to intermediate routes, yeah, it's got zip and it gets there and he can make the throws. One thing that even an unsophisticated, untrained eye can know is when the ball kind of hangs on the deep stuff. And that's something that with Rattler has happened before. But again, Robert Griffin's overall point that Spence Rattler could be the steal of the draft. If he's a fourth round pick that winds up as the starting quarterback for a team, like Dak Prescott's not going to the Hall of Fame. Dak Prescott was the steal of whatever draft he was in because he was a fourth rounder. And if you take a fourth round, you take a quarterback in the fourth round and he starts for you for a decade. Okay. He didn't have to go to Canton to be the steal of the draft. So the potential is there. The profile, he is a quarterback and he will be a day three pick. I'm wondering if he gets the PT to become the steal of the draft. But RG3 knows about it, and he says that absolutely could happen. We got great news. And I mean, Heath has so much on his plate right now. getting us to Dallas for the state fair. I mean, like all kinds of stuff that he's doing. Jimmy's Famous, apparently they have shipping. And the crab cake egg roll, which is, they say, a fun twist on their award-winning colossal crab cake recipe, hand-packed in Baltimore, delivered straight to your door. Now, I don't know anything about the previous life and Jimmy's online presence versus folks in either Columbia or Raleigh or in the deeper South, but I am intrigued by a good crab cake egg roll, and so I will allow Heath to continue working on his own towards the thing in Dallas. I will take the crab cake egg roll being shipped to my house. I'll take that upon myself. What's up, Heath?
All right, you can update us on how that turns out. Be curious about that. You have Holloway in here that certainly is interested in finding out more about the crab cake egg roll. I can tell you that much.
You can open it at your door. It's on ice, and it's ready to cook. They even give you cooking instructions and prep ideas and everything. So I'm intrigued by this. But like I said, you're getting us to Dallas. I'll handle this end of it.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I do know people who have vouched for the product itself, which is part of the reason they were kind of baffled why the company's social media decided to be jerks to them. But regardless of that, I will tell you, Chuck, I don't think that Spencer Rattler is drafted in the fourth round. I think Spencer Rattler goes on Friday night. I think everything you hear about him and the draft and how it's going and that there are so many teams that need quarterbacks, I'd be real surprised if he lasts past Friday night. I don't think he can get into the first round. I'm not saying it'd be second for sure. I'll be real surprised if he makes it out of the third. I think.
Can I ask you a question?
The track record on third round quarterbacks, by the way, stinks. It's horrible.
Yes.
But I think he will not make it out of the third. If people like Matt Corral didn't make it out of the third, I don't think Spencer Rattler's making it out of the third.
And that's actually where I was going. And like I said, I'm not a quarterback coach or a scout or a play caller or whatever. And that's why I was going to ask you, in your estimation, which you have a similar resume to me of what you're not, is he more than Malik Willis? Is he more than Matt Corral? Is he more than some of the third, fourth round guys that, hey, we really liked him in college, and then we're like, yeah, he didn't play much in the NFL. And I don't know that he is. I think that recent experience, like Des Ritter was a third round pick. I think that there is now a kind of a, maybe we're looking backwards at some of those picks and going, let's reevaluate.
I mean, look, Malik Willis was unbelievably raw and had played, couldn't get on the field at Auburn and then got on the field and played at Liberty, but obviously going against limited competition. Matt Corral was known to have some stuff between the ears that was maybe a concern as much as his physical ability, but again, a guy that there were some knocks on. I think Spencer Rattler, whatever people's perceptions of him were earlier in his career, maybe shaped by that QB1 series, I think the way he handled himself at South Carolina really impressed people over the last couple of years. The arm talent is what it is. Is he as high in stature, height-wise, as you would like him to be? Probably not. But I think he will do well for himself from everything I've heard about how it's gone with him in meetings with teams. I think there's some people who will be very surprised at how well the NFL regards Spencer.
I hope so. I was really impressed with the past 2 years of that kid.
And look, I mean, we'll see, but if you tell me I could have Spencer Rattler versus a lot of other recent third-round quarterbacks in the third round, I'd take my chance with him, certainly over a Desmond Ridder, a Corral, a lot of those kind of guys. Quickly on the subject of quarterbacks, Chuck, R.J. Day, rising quarterback prospect out of Columbus, Ohio, part of the class of 2027 quarterback prospect. Yes, that is son of Ryan. Made a visit a couple of days ago, Chuck, to Clemson. Ryan Day got to come along. I have no idea if R.J. Day is good enough 3 years out to be getting visits or whether or not that's a professional courtesy. But, boy, being there for the visit with Day and Dabo, that would have been something to see, I think.
Advantage Ryan Day in that exchange. I mean, do we have one campus visit and peek behind the curtains for everyone whose dad isn't a Power 5 head coach, and then we have the ones for Ryan Day and his kid? Advantage Ryan Day. Well played. All right. Wraps it up on Thursday. For Heath, for David, me, all of us. We'll be back 22 hours.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.